early in Steve Inskeep's drive along the entire U.S.-Mexico border. His car pulled off the road in San Benito, Texas.
So we're just pulling into a very narrow asphalt driveway here, a couple of low buildings up ahead. This is the La Posada Providencia shelter.
Steve and our colleagues were seeking personal stories of people, goods, and culture that crossed the border. They found more than they expected when they got out of the car at that shelter in South Texas.
You know, you could live in this neighborhood, you could live in San Benito probably for a long time and drive past this 100 times and not really notice it at all. The buildings we approached were made of wood, the white paint a little faded. It's a shelter for men and women seeking asylum in the United States. Catholic nuns run La Posada, and when we ate lunch with the asylum seekers, a nun led a prayer, singing in Spanish, which was ironic since many of these recent arrivals from Mexico speak very little Spanish. They came from somewhere beyond Mexico, some from beyond Latin America. Sister Zita Telcamp had a list of where recent asylum seekers came from.
Albania, Bangladesh, Belize, Brazil, China. We just had a young lady recently, I think last week, from China.
Yet all arrived by crossing the Rio Grande from Mexico, which prompted a question I put to three women from Ethiopia. How on earth did you end up in South Texas? You have no idea what some people do to reach the United States until you hear their stories. The women were sitting with a teacher, textbooks open on a kitchen counter. So basically I'm interrupting an English as a second language class. Is that what's happening here? You're trying to teach and I'm like...
You ask her questions, she could probably get more practice in English then.
And so we practiced. Mexican migration to the United States dropped to zero during the Great Recession. As many people returned to Mexico as came to the U.S. Now it may be growing again, but a huge part of the migrant flow is still through Mexico from beyond, usually Guatemala or Honduras, but also Romania or India. Mexico is one step on a journey, and the borderland is like Rick's Cafe in the movie Casablanca, the perilous place where refugees gather, hoping it's a step towards safety in America. Now, what about you, Sarah? How did you get here?
I left my country before 4 years ago because of the politics.
Sarah Zaweta Yilma is a tiny woman, skilled with languages. She's learning Spanish and helps other asylum seekers with it. She says her family faced persecution in Ethiopia. Human rights groups have criticized its government for cracking down on dissent. Though it is hard to verify Sarah's story, she says Ethiopia grew so intolerable she fled to Sudan. Even that unstable place seemed better. And there, she met a connection man. That's what the women call businessmen who promise passage to the USA, starting by providing a fake passport.
He take me a photo. Mm-hmm. I traveled with my husband. He take me a photo, and he gave me some passport. Mm-hmm. It's in Arabic. I am not understand what it says. Mm-hmm. It's in Arabic. It's only he told me my name. It's different name.
What was your name supposed to be?
Laila.
Laila.
They ask you Laila.
Sarah and others at the shelter describe a network of connection men. They funnel people from all over the world to Mexico. All expect to be paid, of course. $9,000 here, $2,000 there. Sarah's total cost was $15,000. She got it from two of her sisters. They were working in Saudi Arabia and sent money. One of the nuns brought us a map so that we could trace Sarah's journey across the globe. Sarah and her husband flew from Sudan to Sao Paulo, Brazil, in South America, which was just her first stop.
Brazil, Venezuela, I crossed a lot of countries.
Okay, so we're in Brazil here, we're in Sao Paulo.
Yes.
How'd you get from Sao Paulo to Venezuela?
Venezuela by car.
By car?
Yes.
So you're going through the Amazon. Mm-hmm. You're going across the Amazon River.
Yes.
At some point.
Yes, by car.
And you end up in Caracas, Venezuela.
Yes, Caracas, in the border of Colombia and Venezuela.
Then you went across westward to Colombia, okay.
Yes, Colombia.
And as she was passed from one connection man to another, the group was growing. She stayed at a safe house with 16 other migrants from Ethiopia, Somalia, Bangladesh, Nepal. Before long, they were 29, struggling across the top of South America.
Okay. By 13 hours by boat. And
one part of Colombia to another part of Colombia,
yes,
by boat. You said
boat.
A small boat, like a little open boat?
Yes, we was. It's,
you're yeah. shivering as you remember.
Yes.
Then you go to Panama through the jungle.
The jungle, 2 days.
And when immigration officials at border after border asked where she was going, she never lost sight of her goal.
They asked me, what's your destination? I say, in USA.
They let her go, so long as she was just passing through. She moved through the countries of Central America one by one, then spent 4 days crossing Mexico by bus. Finally, she walked across a bridge into Brownsville, Texas. Sarah presented herself to federal immigration authorities, and they put her in detention. Sarah said it was nice compared to where she'd been. She was not the only member of her family searching for America. A connection man sent her sister by another route. But word came through Sarah's family that her sister drowned when a boat sank in West Africa.
This was your older sister?
My youngest.
Your youngest. I'm sorry for your loss.
Sorry.
That's no problem at all.
After a moment, she smiled and continued her story. Sarah's journey has stopped for now at that shelter in South Texas, though it's not over. She was allowed to come here while awaiting a court hearing on her final immigration status.
Do you miss home now that you're here?
Yes, I miss, but I can't back.
Can't go back? Now, do you know what you want to do if you're granted asylum? Do you want to stay around here? Do you want to go to New York? Do you want to go to Chicago? Do you want to do some job or another? Do you want to go to school?
I want to study. And in July, I get my baby. I'm pregnant 4 months.
Oh, my goodness.
Not only is she pregnant, she's been separated from her husband, who is still in detention and was shipped to an immigration center in Buffalo, New York. As we sat in this low-ceilinged kitchen, it was hard not to think of the odds that after all this, Sarah might be sent back. She will have to demonstrate she faces political persecution or threats at home. Many asylum seekers are denied, which crossed my mind as I was talking with Sarah, who'd come so far at such a cost. She can only wait and hope. And when we finished our talk, she returned to work with her English teacher, completing phrases from a book.
What is that? It's a coffee pot.
Uh-huh. Okay. Blank is that. It's a girl.